reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. Let me digress from the Gospel this morning and just share a couple of thoughts on Pope Francis's visit to America. First of all, isn't it great once again to feel proud to be a Catholic? We've gone through some dark hours, and yet this man has the ability to cut through all the silliness and all the pomp and pageantry and get to the real humility that was Jesus Christ, and to care for and bend over for those who are on the margins of life. As I listen to him, I hear two words emerging in what he's saying. One is dialogue, and the other encounter. In his meeting with the American bishops, he told them in the gentlest way that anyone could tell them, "Stop these silly culture wars. Stop all this inflammatory rhetoric of judging and condemning people who might think or live differently than you do." What did he tell the people in Congress? Dialogue. Talk to one another. Serve the common good. He told the people at the United Nations the same thing. One of the most remarkable things I saw him do in this past week was when he met with the young people of Cuba. He spent an hour and a half with them. When he arrived, he had no prepared text. He just had a notebook, and he let them ask him questions, and he wrote down and then responded. And not once in that hour and a half did he ever mention Jesus. Why? Because those young people don't know who Jesus is. They've been raised under 50 years of atheistic communism. And so he met them where they were, dialogued with them, and had an encounter with them. We have more weddings at St. Patrick's each year than any other parish in the diocese. About half of those weddings are non-parishioners. Whenever a non-parishioner comes in to do the paperwork, I ask them why they want to get married here. And I just assume it's because of this magnificent building. And for some of them, it is. But for the vast majority of them, they say to me, "Father, I belong, or we belong, to such and such a parish. We went there to get married and make our arrangements, and the priest said to us, 'I never see you at Mass. I'm not going to marry you.'" No priest has any right ever to deny someone a sacrament. And so I say to them, "We'll marry you here. We used to charge $700 for a non-parishioner. The bishop asked me to lower that to $400, which we did. I recently asked the finance council to eliminate that fee completely because we just keep throwing roadblocks in front of these young people, and then we wonder why they don't come to church. I invite them into the rectory for an evening for drinks and dinner. Do I then see them here a week or two after their wedding? Some of them, certainly not all of them. But I'll tell you what does happen. A year or two or three later, they knock on the rectory door and they say, "Father, look what we have. Will you baptize her?" And then I begin to see them coming to Mass. Because I think rather than confrontation, we're imitating what Pope Francis is asking. We're dialoguing with them, meeting them where they are, and entering into a relationship. In response to a question from a reporter on the plane en route from Cuba, the Pope said, "I haven't changed anything." Pope Francis hasn't changed anything. In fact, he's changed everything. Amen.